If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 1. We are going to begin a study through the book of Acts today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again that your word is living and active. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who speaks and teaches us beyond the sacred page. I pray that each of us today would hear what you would have us to hear. Through Christ we pray. Amen. According to a Baylor religion study, 97.1% of Christians said that they had shared their faith with a stranger in the previous month. Now think about that. 97%. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save those who are lost. Jesus said, and as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Jesus said, if the harvest is plenty, the workers are few. Pray for the Lord of the harvest to send workers into the fields. And yet, 97% of people who are followers of Jesus Christ, who call on Christ as Lord, who claim to be disciples of Christ, have not shared their faith with a stranger recently. Now, why is that? It is not because people are evil, wicked people. It is not because people don't care. It is not because we're rebels. It's not because we don't want to obey God. I am convinced that the reason most of us don't is fear. I think it was Becky Pippert who years ago had a great line. She said, there's one thing that Christians and non-Christians, the believers and unbelievers, all have in common. We're all uncomfortable with evangelism. People are uncomfortable sharing, and people are uncomfortable hearing. And I think part of the reason that we're uncomfortable is because often we don't know how. We're afraid that others might be offended. We're afraid of getting into a situation and not knowing what to say, or being afraid that maybe God won't provide for us the words to say, or we might embarrass ourselves. I think that there are probably a few that maybe aren't convinced of the seriousness of what's at stake. There are probably a few that aren't completely convinced that Jesus really is the good news that everybody desperately needs to hear, that we're made for. But I think for the most part, we're afraid and we need clarity and help along the way. Well, today we're going to begin a series of studies, series of devotional talks through the book of Acts. We're just going to kind of walk through this however long it takes us. I may interrupt it from time to time to share with you a devotional thought that has occurred to me sometimes, or maybe a follow-up on a sermon or something like that. But for the most part, we're going to just walk through the book of Acts, because I'm convinced after prayer and thought that it's one of the best things that we can do together to be God's church, for New Life Christian Church to be God's church in our generation. The book of Acts is the history book of the church. There are a couple of really important reasons that we need to know the book of Acts. First, because the book of Acts is the church on fire. Now, this is not the church on fire like California is on fire and it's destroyed. I mean, this is the church on fire, where like God is using the church. The Holy Spirit is spreading the gospel in ways like rarely seen in the world. I mean, they go from 120 huddled in an upper room after Jesus ascends into heaven to 3,000 being baptized on the first day of the church. And not long after that, it says there are 5,000 men in the church of Jerusalem. By the time you get to the sixth chapter of Acts, it's gone from Acts 2, it says that God was adding to their number daily. By chapter 6, it says, and the Lord multiplied their numbers. They went from adding to multiplying. I mean, the church is on fire. And that's the kind of church that I want for us to be. That's the kind of church I've always wanted to be a part of. How about you? So often I think about the Church of Acts. I think about the church in America today. And I think, God, what's necessary for you to be at work in the church today the way that you worked in the book of Acts. Oh Lord, make it happen again. May it happen in us. But if we want the power that they had, then we need to be who they were and do what they did to be blessed and empowered as they were. Second reason I think it's important for us to know the book of Acts is because just as a stream is purest at its source, so the church is purest at its source. Now, does that mean the church was perfect at the beginning in the first century? No, which is good news for us because the church isn't perfect today. But if you want to go back, the church of the book of Acts is led by the apostles, the ones that Jesus, the leaders that Jesus personally handed leadership establishment of the church to. And it's led by those who were trained and taught by the apostles. And so if you really want to know what the church believed and how they practiced, the best thing to do is go to the book of Acts and see what they actually did. See, what sometimes people will do is they'll go to the letters of the New Testament and they'll try to come up with some kind of theology and practice out of that. And rather than saying, well, wait a second, you can finagle the letters to say a lot of different things, you know, Paul to say a lot of different things, but what do they actually do? How do they actually apply those things in the book of Acts? That shows you the theology. Progressive theologians will take an approach to church theology that's a trajectory approach. What do we need to believe today? Well, we think that if the Bible were being written today, that God would say this. Now, there's no basis of that in Scripture. But just basically, they've said, our modern culture says this. We believe that our modern culture is advanced over previous cultures. This is what C.S. Lewis called chronological arrogance. We believe we're advanced, and therefore, this is what the Bible should say, even though the Bible doesn't say that. And that's how you get so many weird, kind of strange, and immoral teachings in progressive churches today. Bible-believing churches say, let's see what they taught. Let's see what they practiced. Let's see how they applied things. And if we will be who they were, if we will do what they do, then God will do through us what he did through them. So I'm excited to walk through the book of Acts together because I know that God is going to use this to help us build the church together. Let's dive in. This is really great. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. I wrote the first narrative, Theophilus. Luke is writing this. Dr. Luke, who wrote the book of Luke. Theophilus may be a person who paid for this, or it may just be a made-up name, a lover of God, Theophilus, whatever it is. I wrote the first narrative about all that Jesus began to do and to teach, underline that, until the day that he was taken up, ascended into heaven, after he had given the instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles that he had chosen. After he had suffered, he also presented himself alive to them. So after the crucifixion, he also presented himself alive by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. The first thing you have to notice is that the book of Luke is really a sequel. I mean, the book of Acts is really a sequel to the book of Luke. When you read the book of Acts, it is almost like you're reading you're watching a television show that had a cliffhanger in the last episode, and now you're about to watch the second episode. But at the beginning of the second episode, because there's been a week that's passed since the previous episode, and what do? They'll spend a couple of minutes giving you a little synopsis of what happened in the previous episode. That's what Luke does here at the beginning of the book of Acts. He kind of gives a little synopsis of what happened there. He says, what I shared with you in the past was all that Jesus began to do and to teach. And now he picks up where it ended. You know, now that's where he began to do and to teach. Now I'm going to show you what he continued to do and to teach, except now, it's after he's ascended, what Jesus continues to do and to teach through the Holy Spirit, through his apostles, through his church. So while the book is sometimes called Acts of the Apostles, a better title would really be the book, the Acts of Jesus and the Holy Spirit through the apostles in the church. It's still the works of Jesus, the Acts of Jesus. And so the book of Luke, you're going to find, is filled with all kinds of encouragements. I'm sorry, the book of Acts. All kinds of encouragements to share the good news of Jesus. Throughout the study, we're going to hear the gospel shared repeatedly in various ways. We're going to see the power of God move dramatically. We're going to see lost people hear the word of God, the gospel of Jesus, and some people are going to get it and follow, and some people aren't, and they're just going to get angry and hostile and make false accusations about the church. Some people are going to see the power of prayer. You're going to see a story that was lived out over 2,000 years ago in a pagan world that is not unlike our world today, hostile to Christianity. One of the reasons I want for us to study the book of Acts together is because I think as you do, you're going to say, wait a second, that's what we're going through right now. That's like our world right now. For instance, Christianity is not popular today. Christianity is increasingly unpopular today. Christianity was not popular when the book of Acts was happening. Christianity was this fledgling faith that was not cool to be a part of. And they were falsely accused, and yet we see that gospel is the power of God. We see examples of boldness in sharing Jesus, lives changed, and the gates of hell incapable of standing against the church. So now we pick up in verse 4, Acts 1:4. And while he was with them, Jesus commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise, which he said, "You have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days." What a strange request, if you think about it. For 3.5 years, Jesus has been preparing these people to lead. For 3.5 years, he has discipled them to go make disciples. He has charged them to go into all the world and make disciples. For the last 40 days, he's been showing them many convincing proofs, restoring their faith, reinforcing their confidence. These guys are like quarter horses in the starting gate, ready for the gun to go off at the Kentucky Derby. And Jesus says, wait. I wonder how frustrating that must have been for them. But we're going to stop there today and pick up the passage at that very place next time. But as we go, I want you just to chew on this thought today. Why is it that Jesus said, wait? Jesus wants us all to share our faith, and we begin by saying 79% of followers of Christ don't, and we, you know, in the past month, and there's a sense of responsibility that we have for that. And yet Jesus says, wait. This is really so typical of God. That's why I want for us to pause and chew on it today. So often Jesus, even while he was alive, would say, watch and wait, watch and wait, watch and wait. Psalm 27 is typical of the message that God would give his people often. Wait for the Lord, be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord. And God has prepared you for great things. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that you're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God's prepared in advance for you to do. And yet, sometimes he still says, wait. So here's the question for you today. In what areas of your life is God saying to you, do not push? This is not a time for pushing. It's a time for waiting. And what's it look like for you to wait? What's it look like for you to be actively looking for the Lord and waiting on the Lord and allowing Him to open up the path to the future? Well, as I said, we're going to pick up there tomorrow. But as we go, let me encourage you to wait and ask God, what's it mean for me to wait? Heavenly Father, I pray that you would give us wisdom. There's so many times in the Bible when you give us a call and then you tell us to wait and prepare and to allow you to work in your perfect timing. You tell us to love and share and serve. And yet times you say, be still. Today, help us to hear your voice as you are telling us to be still and allow us to be active in obedience to you in our times of waiting. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. Hope you'll join us next time. And as you do, you may find it helpful to read the rest of Acts chapter 1. Until then.